Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is noted Nazi hunter Ephraim Zuroff, head of the Israel office of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Much of your work in recent years has been aimed at national accountability, owning up, as it were, to complicity in the Holocaust. Lithuania comes to mind, so does Ukraine, places where the state or the citizenry honor and even cherish the memory of vicious anti-Semites. What kind of progress have you been able to make?
First of all, the initial step that had to be taken was to arouse knowledge, in other words, to inform the public about this phenomenon. And I have to say that this is something that was not expected. The general assumption was that the new democracies of Eastern Europe would simply adopt the Western narrative and the Jewish narrative of the Holocaust and World War II, but that proved to be quite difficult for several reasons. First of all, because of the active participation of their nationals in the crimes of the Holocaust, and the fact that some of the people whom they hoped to turn into national heroes were actively involved in those crimes. And we would naturally assume that if someone was involved in killing his fellow Jewish citizens, that would disqualify them. But that's not the case. Not in Lithuania, not in Ukraine, not in Latvia, other countries. So first of all, we had to understand what was happening. In other words, what was the scope of the problem, of the phenomenon? What were the goals of the people who were behind this? And we basically identified four goals. One goal was to minimize or to hide the crimes of local Nazi collaborators. And I have to point out that only in Eastern Europe did collaboration with the Nazis include active participation in systematic mass murder. In other words, the Nazis were able to enlist local helpers in every single country they occupied and the countries allied with Nazi Germany. But those outside Eastern Europe were limited in quotation marks, to the initial steps of the final solution. In other words, they defined who's a Jew, they passed discriminatory legislation against Jews, made it impossible for Jews to earn a livelihood and to, you know, live normal lives, and ultimately these people, in some cases, were put into certain, in other words, concentrated in certain areas in their places of residence, and then they were arrested and sent to be murdered somewhere else by someone else. Now, that somewhere else was Eastern Europe, and that's where the local Nazi collaborators were integrated into the framework of mass murder. So this is the first goal, very important goal. Of course, if a country has a choice between being a country of perpetrators or a country of victims, it's a no-brainer. So the second goal is to promote the canard of equivalency between communist and Nazi crimes and to insist that communist crimes were genocide, which they weren't. In other words, I don't want to in any way minimize communist crimes. The communists had millions of innocent victims. But neither the Soviet Union nor the communist regimes of Eastern Europe never attempted to totally wipe out people, and they never used industrial mass murder as the Nazis did. So, of course, if that is the case, which it isn't, if communism was really genocide, that means that there were Jews who committed genocide. And this is important because, obviously, if Jews committed genocide, how can they complain about the genocide committed by the peoples of Eastern Europe? In other words, if everyone is guilty, no one is guilty. The third goal was to glorify, as I mentioned, local heroes who had fought against the Soviets or against the communists, despite the fact that these people had been actively involved in the crimes of the Shoah. And the fourth goal is to push for the observance or the recognition for a joint memorial day for all the victims of totalitarian regimes, which would basically make the International Holocaust Day superfluous. And the date chosen for that more universal, you could say, day is August 23rd, which was the day that the Soviet Union signed the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, non-aggression pact, between the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany. So in other words, the message is the innocent observer thinks that the Third Reich bears sole responsibility for the millions, many millions of people murdered during World War II. Well, think again. The Soviet Union is just as guilty. So in other words, they want to compare the regime, Third Reich, which conceived, planned, built, and ran the biggest mass murder factory in human history, Auschwitz-Birkenau, with the country, with all its flaws, the system with all its flaws, that liberated Auschwitz-Birkenau and stopped the mass murder. So once we identified those goals, then it's a question of creating the tools to try and present an accurate narrative to the populations and to the governments. So just to give you one example, in Lithuania, I wrote a book together with a Lithuanian author, at the time the most popular author in Lithuania, named Rūta Vanagaitė, in which we exposed, first of all, the scope of Lithuanian participation in Nazi war crimes, the incredibly important role that these Lithuanians played, and it's a phenomenon that encompassed all strata of Lithuanian society, from the political leadership to the religious leadership to the local administration. One of the interesting facts about Lithuania was that there were less than 1,000 Germans in Lithuania during the Nazi occupation. And this is a country in which 96.4% of the Jews living under the Nazi occupation were murdered by the Nazis and their helpers, and the killing squads. What we did was, there's a book that's not written in a academic, scholarly manner, but rather a book which is accessible to any person with any intelligence in Lithuania. It created an enormous scandal. It became a bestseller and opened up a ongoing, very intense debate about these issues, which has been going on ever since this book was published. Basically, what we're hoping is to be able to replicate it in the other countries where we face this problem. But of course, part of the success, an enormous part of the success of this book was the fact that one of the co-authors was a Lithuanian, non-Jewish woman, who discovered that her relatives had been involved in persecution of Jews during the Holocaust and sought to atone for these crimes, which she was totally shocked by and horrified by them, and someone who had enormous credibility in her country. Now, the authorities subsequently took steps to in a sense, to punish, in quotation marks, Rūta Vanagaitė. And when she questioned whether or not an anti-Soviet hero should be honored in Lithuania because his record during the war wasn't so great, and there were all sorts of questionable things about his behavior even during the fight against the Soviets. So she was viciously attacked, and the father of Lithuanian independence, Vytautas Landsbergis, actually wrote an op-ed in which he said to her, "Now that you have betrayed the country, why don't you go commit suicide?" Rūta Vanagaitė fled Lithuania. She's actually living in Israel now. In other words, this is what happens to people who challenge the establishment on these historical questions. So the problem is to find another Rūta Vanagaitė in Latvia, in Ukraine, in Estonia, in Croatia, in Poland, etc.